Next on BYUSN, all eyes on tonight's first college football playoff rankings and their release. Where do we expect to see BYU end up? Tonight also marks the season opener for new head coach Kevin Young and BYU men's basketball. What are we realistically expecting from Coach Young and his squad in game number one?
I go one-on-one with running back Hinkley Ropati on the rivalry, the renewed run game, and what it will take to beat Utah on Saturday. And what that head coach up north, Kyle Whittingham, said regarding the Utes starting quarterback Saturday. Does it even matter who it is?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, which does matter. Presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, November 5th. Super Tuesday. I am Spencer Linton alongside a guy who's also wearing a headband today, Jerem Jordan.
We acknowledge Richie Saunders because we love Richie. We also acknowledge high-profile, top 35 ESPN recruits who are coming to Brigham Young at some point, who also wear a headband. So shout out to that guy whose name we can't say in the air, but this is our acknowledgement. So super exciting to continue to get great recruits at BYU. Hopefully there are more coming down the pipe at the top of the rankings and so on and so forth. So I'm very excited about the news we got with BYU basketball yesterday. And, of course, game day, Kevin Young era begins. Pregame coming up at 8 Eastern right here. And then we have a 7 Eastern reaction show to the college football playoff.
So because today isn't busy enough.
No, there's not. I know. My family was texting me, this is a crazy day. I was like, you don't even know. The NFL trade deadline is this afternoon. Plus, we got all this stuff going on. I hear there's a presidential election as well. So there you go.
What's that again? I'm glad to see you representing the blue on blue. I've got the white on white. We've got blue and white covered during rivalry week for BYU.
We ain't going to have red, I'll tell you.
We're not messing around.
No red.
With that said, all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
First college football playoff committee, top 25 comes out. Where do you expect BYU to be in it?
The committee values tremendously is the quality of wins. And BYU still has wins over two teams that are currently ranked.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. The first college football playoff rankings of 2024 and the first of the newly expanded 12-team college football playoff will be revealed tonight. So straight up, where do all of you and where do you, Jerem, expect BYU to land in the 2024 inaugural CFP poll?
Better be in the top 10. BYU has a top 10 resume. I'm hoping, you know, it's hoping for like 7, but I'm realistically thinking like 8 or 9 at this point. Hoping strength of record is a big factor because BYU is extremely high in that right now. Like they are top 5 good in that department, number 4. Undefeated is undefeated, Spence. One of only 4 power 4s to be undefeated at this point. Strength of schedule is 61, so perhaps BYU gets dinged a little bit in that space. But 12 or higher would be the highest in BYU history in this particular poll of the college football playoff rankings, which is exciting. We had some a couple of good runs there in, 20 and 21. So I'm excited tonight. You see some of the projections. CBS Sports real high. They like BYU a lot at 4. You see everybody else in the top 10 there. So I'm thinking the committee goes 8 or 9. In a moment, we'll discuss where we think they deserve to be. But I'm expecting 8 or 9.
I am expecting specifically number 8. I think that is where BYU will fall tonight. I don't think it's overwhelmingly awesome, but I think it's still awesome that BYU will be a top 10 team when this poll is released.
They should be. If they're not, that's atrocious.
Of note, in the last 3 years, every undefeated Power 4 team in consideration over the last 3 years of this poll, when it is first released in early November, the worst ranking of any of those undefeated Power 4 teams was number 9 by Wake Forest in 2021. So I think it's safe to assume, I hope, that BYU at worst would be number 9 because they are this year one of 5 remaining unbeatens in college football. And of course, they are now in that Power 4 category. So I do not see how it's any worse than number 9. I expect number 8. I think BYU deserves to be as high as 6 or 7. If we're looking at what they have put together, and if the committee actually values strength of record and BYU's ever impressive and growingly impressive win at SMU, then I'd say 6 or 7 is what they deserve. But I think 8 At worst, it's going to be 9, Jeremy.
I got to dig into this a little more, but there are only so many teams with 0 or 1 losses and 2 wins against ranked teams in the AP poll. I'm seeing Oregon, Georgia, BYU, Notre Dame, but they have the loss to Northern Illinois. So get to the back of the line. SMU has wins over now-ranked Louisville and, of course, Pitt. So there may be 1 or 2 others. I got to dig into a little more, but that's pretty impressive. The strength of record, good. The thing that could ding, like I said, BYU just a touch, could be strength of schedule. But you look at Indiana in that space, 103. Their remaining strength of schedule is 14. They're going to play at Ohio State.
Yeah, that's
tough. They're playing Michigan. They're playing at Purdue.
They're destroying competition. Yeah. That is their argument.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, BYU has destroyed Kansas State, and they've destroyed Arizona and UCF. So they're destroying people too. Is it every game all the time? No, Oklahoma State was close. You're going to play close games. You got to win close games. No one dinged TCU for going like 6-0 in one-score games in 22 when they went to the national title game. So all good. The no loss November, the hope is you can continue it as you see that. Ranked wins is a big deal there.
Two of them.
Like Ohio State played Oregon tough. They won at Penn State. So, and they're Ohio State. Like they're going to be above BYU. Miami's resume is interesting. 9-0. They've beaten Louisville as their one win against a ranked team,
I believe. And survived in a couple of other instances.
Got a Hail Mary. BYU, you know, won a late one too. Like, Miami, the debate between BYU and Miami is an interesting one. Like, BYU's resume is better than Miami, it looks like. But they have Cam Ward and kind of a program of prestige, maybe a little higher than BYU, whatever.
Yeah, that Heisman candidate and name brand. Heisman candidate and name brand is what Miami
it
has.
It does, but it shouldn't as much as it does, I think. Indiana's the newcomer. BYU should be ranked ahead of Indiana. They should. The schedule, the strength schedule is better. The strength of record is better. The ranked wins, all of that. Indiana's going to be able to prove itself in 2 weeks at Ohio State. BYU doesn't have that game sitting there, but they have 2 wins that matter. Like, SMU continues to look great. SMU is like a week or two from being in the top 10, potentially. If they keep winning.
They're number 13. Where will SMU show up in tonight's poll?
Yeah, will they be 13th like in the AP
poll? Also, the AP poll is relevant for about 7 more hours.
Yeah, and then...
See you later.
Bye.
It's all about this college football playoff.
Like, we'll mention it, but it's not the one that we'll show the graphic on.
Okay, so all of those things considered. So you like, expect BYU around 8?
Yeah, 8 or 9, but they deserve
what do you
to
think
be
they
like
deserve?
6.
6.
Yeah, I really think that based on... what I talked about with strength of record and wins versus AP ranked teams and still undefeated. Like, isn't the point to win all the games?
Yes.
So BYU has won all the games, therefore put them up high. I acknowledge that a Georgia and an Ohio State deserve to be above BYU. But I think BYU should be ranked ahead of Texas and Penn State and Tennessee at this point.
Tennessee has a win against Alabama. That one is loud.
That's an awesome win. I can see the argument for Tennessee. But I also see the argument for the strength of record and the ranked wins for BYU.
I do not understand, other than, yes, Notre Dame has 2 ranked wins, but they have a home loss to Northern Illinois.
Yeah, see ya. No. Bye.
How
BYU.
Does that beat out BYU, who also has 2 ranked wins?
It shouldn't.
And no bad loss. Certainly not a bad loss at home. So BYU should be above Notre Dame. Penn State is an intriguing case. What's their best win? Illinois? Who is no longer ranked?
Yeah. No.
West Virginia, middling Big 12 team. Like, what is Penn State's juicy resume building win that they have
BYU's
right now?
Yeah.
BYU should be above 1-loss Penn State, but I don't think they will be because of name brand. And well, they played Ohio State tough. They got that quality loss. What?
All I heard was loss in that sentence.
They have 0 ranked wins. What is their resume?
If BYU had 1, I'd be like, well, BYU is 2. Okay? Kansas State's still in there. The SMU win could really help BYU for the at-large conversation.
Should they not win
the Big 12? I mean, when the actual conversation occurs later. Root for SMU because that win will help BYU. Historically, the wins that have helped BYU the most were like, oh, when that team was ranked high, you beat them. This is a slow burn win. Meaning, this is more brisket-y, you know, on the smoker. Like, at the beginning, you're like, this doesn't taste good right now, but guess what? In 12 hours,
sure,
this is going to taste delicious. And right now, that SMU win continues to get flavorful.
So, I expect Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, probably Miami at number five. And then it gets really convoluted.
And then it
Tennessee, maybe at six.
I don't expect BYU to be at six, but I think they deserve it.
Penn State seven and probably BYU at number eight.
Yeah.
But BYU has a case to be above Penn State for sure.
We don't know what they value.
We will find out tonight.
We'll find out tonight.
We will learn that tonight. I can't wait.
The head of the playoff committee is from Michigan, so the Big Ten will certainly – Indiana will have its say. Unless they're like, you need to get out of the room when we're talking about your conference team. I'm not sure if it's the same as like the March Madness selection committee.
Hey, we talked to the president of the selection committee during Big 12 Media Days. He's an Air Force guy. He still holds a grudge against BYU for ruining Air Force's perfect season in 1985.
Yeah. I'm confused because the Michigan AD is the one that's going to talk tonight, is my understanding. It's not that guy. I don't know who's talking
Get
tonight. Just put BYU in the top 10. We're good.
They will be there. Yeah, we'll find out what they actually value tonight.
Yeah.
Last week, Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham announced that Isaac Wilson and Brandon Rose, the second and third string quarterbacks when the season began respectively, would split reps 50-50 in practice. Then he said they would make a decision this week. Well, yesterday, both Kalani Sitake and Kyle Whittingham addressed Utah's quarterback situation heading into Saturday's game. Listen to this.
Yeah, we've got a good plan right now, and we'll keep it to ourselves, obviously, but we have a plan going forward. And, you know, I guess nothing's ever set in stone, but we feel like we've got a situation that is best for us and gives us the best chance to win.
We've got to prepare for anything that they can throw at us. I mean, they've had an extra week, so there's a lot of different things that we have to probably over-prepare for, but that's okay. I'd rather be that way than – I mean, we have to take a look at all the quarterbacks that are on the roster and be ready for them.
Yes, BYU's challenge is to be prepared for both Isaac Wilson and Brandon Rose. There is obviously more film on Isaac Rose because he's taken almost 400 snaps this season.
What do you mean? There's 15 whole passes from Brandon Rose against Houston.
Was 7-for-15 passing.
With a pick.
But he's healthy. And I listened to the entire Kyle Whittingham press conference. I'm reading the tea leaves here, but when he talks about Brandon
we
Rose.
We don't know much about tea leaves around here.
Kyle Whittingham said of Brandon Rose, he's playing his best football as a Utah quarterback from the time that he has been here to this date.
In practice, I would assume, because it wasn't in that game.
He's mentioned primarily in practice, and he's healthy. So I would be shocked if it's not Brandon Rose.
I agree. You've given Isaac Wilson like 4 or 5 games. He also hurt his wrist, it looks like, in that game. I don't know if he's completely healthy or not. And if you're Utah, you don't care about the future. You care about winning this game. Because, one, you want to beat your rival, and, two, you want to make a bowl game. So they've got to put the chips in the middle that they have. They can't be like, well, sure, we're going with Isaac and we're going to build and whatever. No, I agree with you. I think they're going to go with Brandon Rose.
So the question is, we both think it's going to be Brandon Rose, but does it matter?
No, the Utah offense has stunk this year. I'm going to repeat and say some new numbers here about what they haven't done. Isaac Wilson, freshman, going to have some struggles. Zach Wilson did as a freshman as well. 14th in pass efficiency in the Big 12. 4 straight games with losses, all less than 20 points on offense. You look at the playmakers for Utah and you go, dude, they've got guys.
Dorian Singer.
Mekhi Bernard, Money Parks, Dorian Singer.
Money Parks is out for the season.
He's out for the season. Thank you. Okay, Caleb Lohner in the red zone. 3 grabs for 3 touchdowns. Remember Caleb? He's a machine down there. He hasn't missed when they've thrown it to him. So I look at the playmakers. They can't run the ball. They get behind the chains. And their defense has to try and score. Otherwise, they're in trouble. Can BYU's offense just do what they've been doing? Remember, 250-plus rushing the last 2 games. BYU has discovered something awesome in the run game. And if BYU runs the ball effectively and doesn't really turn it over, maybe once, I don't see how BYU loses the game. I'm excited about this BYU offense against that Utah defense, but will Utah score 24 in a Power 4 game? They haven't yet.
I think, it feels like the Bronco rule is more applicable than ever in this game.
Mm-hmm.
First team to 24 wins the game. Utah has not scored 24 points in any Power 4 game this season.
Are you nervous even though, 2019, BYU goes up 20-0, still loses. If BYU's up 20-0 in this game, it is not the same team as 2019.
You're right. Matt Hadley was BYU's third string running back, and he broke his arm in the third quarter.
Yeah, and Corbin Kafusi got hurt. I think Isaiah Kafusi
got
hurt.
BYU's best offensive player and best defensive player both left the game early, and the Cougars were not a nationally ranked team. They were a middling team in Independence that was trying to figure some things out. Yeah. Utah was a nationally ranked team.
Yes.
Different story this time around.
And like Jalen Glover said some things last night that he apologized for.
Oh, he did?
To me, that's more of a projecting because we're in trouble moment rather than a confidence place. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And he said some things that just straight up weren't accurate. Keep the streak going. You don't have a streak, Doug.
Well, they have a home winning streak against BYU, so maybe it was that?
No, I don't think so. He said Cold War. I think he meant Holy War. He was breathing heavy. Was he tired? I don't know what was going on there. Again, he apologized for those comments. But it was just kind of weird. It was like, to me, you're coming off desperate here. As opposed to, we know who we are, and we're going to show up and be different. You know who knows who they are and has an identity and has confidence and is rolling? Brigham Young University football.
So, as far as it mattering, it matters if Utah starts their healthy quarterback. I think that in that regard, you go with the guy who is healthy. If Isaac Wilson is banged up, that helps BYU,
also,
obviously. So that, to me, that aspect of it does matter because it gives Utah the best chance if you run a healthy guy out there. But how much different in terms of production are those two quarterbacks really going to be?
And I'm guessing their fan base is like, show me Rose. I've seen Isaac. Like, we've lost games where we've given up 13-17 from the Utah perspective.
Maybe
like,
Utah's thinking they can pull a Garrett Rangel of Oklahoma State with a new quarterback and throw some wrinkles in there, and then all of a sudden they find a little bit of traction.
Perhaps.
Like, I would imagine that's what they're hoping for.
I don't wish for the best there, though.
No BYU fan does.
I wish for horrendous offense from Utah.
And you join every BYU fan in that regard as well.
I want a good, clean game where no one gets hurt, and it's let's go after it. Fair fight.
Our question of the day, going back to the college football playoff rankings, what is your realistic best-case scenario for where BYU ends up in tonight's poll and worst case for where the Cougars might go? Okay. Spencer Rosenhan on X says, best case, probably number 5. I don't see a path for BYU to get as high as number 5.
I don't either.
Yeah. They're not going to pass up Ohio State and Miami. It ain't happening. Or Texas or Georgia or Oregon.
The BYU brand is big, but those brands are just a touch bigger.
Worst case, he adds, is right behind Boise State in the 10 to 12 range. If
that
BYU
would be
were behind Boise State.
Oh, that's not going to happen to him.
No way.
No. No.
No way.
Power 4, strength schedule. Come on. Yeah.
I know Boise State's only losses at Oregon, but still.
Boise State's remaining strength schedule is 91. The strength of schedule so far, because they played Oregon, is 59, which is two spots higher than BYU at the moment. But they don't deserve to be ahead of BYU right now.
Hashtag BYU has had an X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation. Tell us your best and worst case scenarios for BYU before tonight's poll comes out.
And again, 7 Eastern, we'll be live on social media with a reaction to that. It's going to be fun tonight. Okay, men's basketball opens season tonight against Central Arkansas. Pregame 8 Eastern, BYU TV, BYU Radio. What do you want to see from the Cougars in the season opener?
Cohesion. I want to see BYU take a little bit better care of the ball. And I want to see BYU cover, man. They're like 30-point favorites.
30.
I want to see them go out and lay the hammer on this team. And I think they will, because they do take a little bit better care of the ball. And they've talked so much about how good they are making the extra pass, sharing the ball, building the chemistry. I want to see BYU take another step in the right direction. It's going to take a little while to break in this new squad. So I just want to see a few steps in the right direction, fewer turnovers, and really, really sharing the ball well.
Give me the number of turnovers that's good enough.
12 or fewer.
Okay. That's the number they liked last year too. Okay, flow. I want to see the ball moving around, so 6 dudes in double figs.
Okay, scoring.
I want to see a high assist to field goal percentage. It was 77 in the exhibition. Give me 70 tonight. I'd take 65. And then Dawson Baker told us last week, hey, we want to take 33s a game.
Yeah.
And I want to see 35% or better. They went 18 of 36 in the exhibition. That was excellent. Like, you would take both those numbers of percentage and makes every day of the week. So hoping for, everyone to look good. We'll see if Dallin Hall and Foose and Trey, what the status is with those guys. They were kept out of the exhibition, precautionary measure. We'll see if Mihailo Boskovic is eligible. We don't know the answer to that question quite yet. We'll have the latest.
He can play in the exhibition, obviously, because it doesn't count.
We'll have the latest for you coming up at 8 Eastern. Spence on the court, giving us the latest and greatest.
Look forward to the pregame. If you want a number in terms of sharing the ball, I want to see BYU have assists on at least 60% of their field goals. I think that's a fair number. So BYU,
give me 65.
You want 65?
In this game against this team, higher. Because you don't need to be going one-on-one in this
situation.
No,
but you may have more opportunities to take guys off the dribble and get some things done.
Perhaps. You can have 35% of them.
Okay, very good. Men's basketball, it's crazy. Season opener tonight. amidst the chaos of the college football playoff.
It's been over 200 days since Kevin Young was hired. Can you believe that? That went by fast.
What has he even accomplished?
What has Kevin Young even done or not done since then? It's been an amazing run, and we haven't even played a game. Till tonight, join us as well, as we mentioned, 7 Eastern for the BYU Sports Nation College Football Playoff Rankings Reaction Show. We'll be on YouTube, X, and Instagram, the BYU Sports Nation account, live at 7 Eastern. It's going to be awesome.
After the break, Jerem goes one-on-one with BYU running back Hinkley Ropati about the BYU-Utah rivalry, what it means to Hinkley, and what the Cougars' big number 7 is looking forward to most about playing at Rice-Eccles Stadium. This is BYU Sports Nation.
I can't tackle this guy.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
We take pride in being able to run the ball well and executing those plays.
Gives to Hinkley. Touchdown!
That's one thing that helped us a lot, is being able to come out here and physically impose our will on these guys. Play our brand of football, I think we're going to be just fine.
A healthy Hinkley Ropati making a difference, certainly in the UCF game, and hoping to make a big difference for BYU in Salt Lake City on Saturday. Welcome back to Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. We're wearing headbands. We're feeling good. Basketball season tips off tonight, and we get the college football playoff poll released also tonight. He is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. And you had a chance to speak with the aforementioned Hinkley Ropati recently.
He's having a very good year. Remember, coming off an ACL tear, leading the team in yards per carry, had a baby recently. Lots going on in Hinkley's life, which we talk about. That and the college football playoff ranking, playing Utah. Here's my conversation with Hinkley. Hinkley, it's always good to talk to another guy named after a prophet. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, John. I was good to see you, too.
Hey, your brothers are named after prophets, too, right?
Yeah.
What are the names?
My older brother is Ezra, right? After Ezra Duff Benson. It's me, Hinkley, Gordon B. Hinkley. And then my younger brother is Monson. And so, yeah.
Money. There's pressure to be good, right? To make good choices.
It is. It's a great reminder. You know what I mean? Whenever you know, you're in the wrong or whatever it may be, just, understand who you're named after. So, yeah.
Got to remember. That's an important word. Hey, things are going great, too, for this BYU football team. How was the bye week?
It's been good. I mean, I said it earlier, but our bye week is we treat it like any other week. You know what I mean? I think in terms of preparation, effort, and energy, you know, during practices, we treat it as if it's a game week. And the only difference is there's no game. And so it went really well. And I think we took advantage of it, and we're excited to, you know, go have this week underway to prepare again. So, yeah.
Look, it's not perfect in football to like stay healthy, but it feels like this team is probably as healthy as you could be. How do you see it?
Oh, I totally agree. And that's the big reason for that is our performance staff. You know what I mean? Our sports performance staff has been a huge part of why we've been able to, you know, the things that their philosophies and the things that they've been able to, you know, train us and help us understand and do day a week in and week out is what kept us healthy. And so, I mean, kudos to those guys, man.
To most guys, being in the top 10 and running for 5.8 yards per carry would be the biggest story in their life. But you got a little baby named Lena right now. How's baby Lena and mama doing?
Baby Lena's doing great, and mama's doing really good. She's healing up really well. And yeah, man, that's been honestly the highlight of my life right now, being able to go home to my girls and just can't believe it. You know what I mean? Sometimes I have my moments where I'm just like, wow, I'm really a dad. You know what I mean? And it's just... And you see your little girl, you know what I mean? I'm sure everyone has experienced this as who are parents, but it's just like the whole world just kind of stands still. You know what I mean? It just changes for you. The things that you do it for, you know what I mean? A little bit more motivation, inspiration through everything you do. And so, yeah.
I just had a baby over the summer as well, a 4-month-old little girl. And our little girls have never seen BYU football lose a game. That's pretty good, right?
That's pretty awesome, man. That's a pretty good life, huh?
The Big 12, top 10 team. Yeah, life's going great for them.
Life's going great for them.
The run game has been especially awesome the last two games, Hinkley. What's gotten into the run game? You guys have gone for 250-plus back-to-back games.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, the guys up front, first of all. You know what I mean? Those boys, they, you know, I mean, day in and day out, even in practices, you know what I mean? We take pride in being able to run the ball well and executing those plays. And so, you know, with Coach Harvey and Coach Woods, you know, at the front of the helm leading the way, they do a really good job of emphasizing the importance of executing our plays really well. So we don't take run review and all that stuff very light, you know, lightly in practice. And I think it's a big contributor to why we are able to run the ball well. You know, when we get to the game, it's just clockwork at that point. You know what I mean? And so, and I think that's a big thing. Just a lot of repetition. So yeah.
What's your history with BYU, Utah, and the rivalry and whatnot? Did you watch it growing up?
Yeah. So like I knew about the, like, just a little bit of the rivalry, obviously, because, you know, they're both, you know, the two biggest universities in the state. But I grew up in Southern California. I was more of a UCLA and USC. And I honestly get the same vibe. If I'm being honest, it's probably worse than that rivalry. Like, just the blood and the, you know, the bad blood between the two teams, and not just the teams, but, you know, the coaches and the communities. And so it's been really fun to be a part of, you know? And so I was able to experience it my first year here, back the last time we faced them. And that was such a fun experience, you know what I mean? And to be able to do that, you know, here in Provo, and then to have the crowd rush the field the way it was, that was just an awe experience for sure.
So like Lena with this year, you've only seen winning versus Utah.
Yeah, exactly.
1-0, I like it. Trying to make it 2-0. Utah traditionally always has a good defense. They do again this year. They give up more rushing yards to Houston than they have to quite a few teams. What's the key to being able to run and have explosive plays and score on that Utah defense, which traditionally is very good?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is physicality. I think Coach Kalani talks about this, you know, every week. The most physical team usually tends to come out on top. And so I think that's the mentality we're going into this game. I mean, we have our game plan, and you know, we're going to do everything we can to execute it as perfectly as we can, as the best way we can. But at the end of the day, physicality is a choice, you know, it's a decision we got to make. And so I think that's one thing that's going to, you know, help us a lot, is being able to come out here and physically impose our will on these guys, because that's what they do to teams. And that's why they've been able to be successful as a defense, not just this year, but, you know, and many years prior. And so I think if we come out here and we play these guys physical, you know, and we do play our brand of football, I think we're going to be just fine. So, yeah.
We're talking to running back Hinkley Ropati on BYU Sports Nation. This is a game that matters to a lot of people. Obviously, you're 8-0, the only undefeated team left in the Big 12. How have you guys been able to focus week to week on the task at hand and not look ahead, right? People talking about playoff and whatnot. It's hard not to get excited at the possibility. Yet, you have four big games, and let's be honest, you guys have said, like, hey, Super Bowl number 9 is this week, but this game isn't any other game. So how are you staying dialed in on this game this week?
I think the biggest thing is also just tuning out all the noise and things of that sort, right? Coaches and you know, all the players, we talk about it in our meetings and everything like that. It's just, you know, the media is poison, you know what I mean? And
yeah, those guys are the worst. Yeah, all of you guys.
And everybody's going to tell you how good you are and so on. But I think what's really good about this team is that we do a really good job of just blocking out all the, you know, exterior factors and, you know, and just kind of just worry about, you know, what's happening within our team. And so the way we do that is just focusing, for example, today, nobody's worried about Tuesday's practice or Wednesday's practice or looking forward to a walkthrough on you know, Friday. We're worried about Monday's preparation and whatever that looks like today. And I think with that mentality, we've been able to, you know what I mean? Just win each day and earn the right to play well on Saturday. And that's one thing our coaches always talk to us is every day, every practice is an opportunity to earn the right to play well. And so with that mentality, you know, day in, week in and week out, I mean, don't get me wrong, we look back and we see what we've done and we're super grateful for it. You know what I mean? But we're more excited for what lies ahead. And so, yes, sir.
With the bye week, do you get to sort of install the offense a little earlier than normal, or is the bye week, and then this week's like a normal week?
No, definitely. I mean, we do get another week to basically, you know, install and whatever plays or scheme that we're planning for that week. We get a little jump start on it, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's just also a good week to just go back to the fundamentals and get back to the, you know, the fundamentals of football, low pad level, ball security. And we kind of just hammer those things in, and even with special teams as well. And so it's a good week to kind of polish those fundamentals off. And then this week we attack the game plan even more. And so, yeah.
Well, I'll give you all the BYU Sports Nation karma I could possibly give you, because obviously Cougar Nation wants to win up at Rice-Eccles this Saturday night. Have fun this week. Enjoy it. And best of luck on Saturday.
Appreciate you, Gerald. Thank you.
Hinkley Ropati, thanks for chatting yesterday. BYU Sports Nation basketball countdown returns tonight. Season debut of the show and the season opener, BYU versus Central Arkansas. We'll be live at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and the BYU TV app. Tyler Haas, Chris Kozlowski, Spencer on the court, Dave Blaine in the arena. I'll be on the program as well. Can't wait for tonight, man.
Let's rival a little bit more after the break, specifically with reaction from BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake, his quarterback Jake Retzlaff, and Kyle Whittingham up at the U. On the way in headlines, this is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, because tonight at 7 Eastern, we've got a live show on social media reacting to the college football.
It's a Super Tuesday of BYU Sports on Super Tuesday, and we are in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Headbands on still for today's headlines.
Number 9, BYU football continues prep for Saturday's road game at Utah. Head coach Kalani Sitake spoke about how
we're going to get their best effort. I've said this over and over again every week, and it's more... more definite now than ever before that we will get their best effort and their best shot, and we need to make sure that they get ours as well. And if we can get that done, and who knows what's going to happen.
BYU's number 9, undefeated. Utah's lost 4 in a row. We're all hoping around here it's 5 in a row.
BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff spoke specifically about the importance for the players and coaches to handle and manage their emotions in a game where, naturally, emotions tend to be very hot.
I play with enough motion as it is, so I just try to remove the emotion from the rivalry and attack it like a football game. It's not something that the fans want to hear, but it's the truth, and that's how you go win these games, is you remove that intense emotion out of it, and then you just go play ball and keep executing like we've done all year.
Retzlaff at BYU looking for their first road win at Utah since 2006, when Beck to Harleen happened.
It's been a hot minute. Former Cougar linebacker Kyle Whittingham shares his impressions of why he thinks BYU's had a good season so far.
As a team, very opportunistic football team. They're playing good complementary defense, offense to each other. Defense is taking the ball away like crazy. Offense is protecting the ball. They're number 2 in the country, in the conference, in turnover margin. So they're doing a really good job playing off each other offensively and defensively.
Say something nice about your rival, it finally happened. The Cougars are currently 4-point favorites. Pre-game coverage begins Saturday at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
The first college football playoff rankings ready to be revealed tonight at 7 Eastern live on ESPN. Why does this matter? Because these are the rankings that will be used to determine who gets in to the expanded 12-team college football playoff. Join us tonight for a BYUSN playoff rankings live reaction show. The episode will be streamed live exclusively on social media, specifically YouTube, X, and Instagram, beginning at 7 Eastern. React with us, won't you?
It's a ball night for men's hoops who open the season tonight against Central Arkansas on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. Cougars a 30-point favorite. Season debut of BYUSN Countdown with myself, Spencer, Tyler Haas, Chris Kozlowski, appearances from Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler as well. 8 Eastern on BYU TV with pregame as well on BYU Radio.
And the latest volleyball rankings are out. BYU women in at number 21 in the AVCA poll after splitting matches. 5-set loss against Arizona State. Then they swept Arizona. Next up for the Cougars, another ranked showdown, tough road match at number 23, Utah on Friday. It is BYU at Utah week.
It's red and blue week.
Indeed, for so many reasons.
Yes, it is.
After the break, BYU men's cross country makes their way into the studio.
Yeah.
Fresh off their Big 12 championship and upsetting Oklahoma State. Davin Thompson and Lucas Bonds in the house right after this on BYUSN.
I've had talented teams before. I've had tough teams before. But this is a really talented and tough team. That's our men's first championship, Big 12.
They are the champions, my friend. I love it, Jerem. I love it. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation as we continue a celebration for men's cross country, specifically in this moment, as they win their first Big 12 title. And we do so with Davin Thompson and Lucas Bonds. Gentlemen, welcome to
Congratulations,
Studio B.
Congratulations, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got the championship coming here. Apparently, it's still snowing and wet outside.
Yep. That's right. Coming down.
That's awesome.
Well, now that you sit here and you look at it, and you've had time to process what actually happened, what does a Big 12 championship mean to this team after you upset Oklahoma State?
Yeah, it means a lot. It's been a long time coming. We've had a lot of injuries in the past, and we've had to be really patient and work hard for this. And we weren't too focused on winning going into it. We just wanted to run our best. And then with a K to go, we were like, oh, crap, like, we're in it. So it's super exciting and gives us a lot of confidence going into postseason.
Lucas, when did you realize we're going to win?
It was like 3 minutes after finishing, but at about 5K, the coaches started to say, hey, if you catch this guy or that guy, we can make it happen. And it seemed like it was impossible because they were like 30 meters ahead of me.
Yeah.
But it was like, man, if I can just catch a couple more guys, if those guys can catch a couple more guys, and then there's one guy who started falling back, I was like, this is actually possible. We didn't even think it was like in the realm of possibility to beat them at conference. Mm. So maybe we'd get them at nationals if things played to our favor in a cold race with a 10K. But yeah, we didn't think it would happen at conference.
That's so wild. And yeah. Ed Eystone shared that sentiment where it was such a pleasant surprise for him. But the game plan was executed perfectly. So let's get into the details of that. What was the game plan going in when you're trying to take down a juggernaut in Oklahoma State?
And let's talk about that real quick. Because people are like, well, wait, they're number two. Shouldn't they be? There's a little gap there, perception-wise at least, right?
Yeah.
So that was a big deal.
Yeah, so Oklahoma State won nationals last year. It was like one of the lowest scores like of all time.
And low is good.
And like, low is good. So they're, one of the best teams in the history of the NCAA. And our conference is also really good. Three of the top four teams. Tons of Africans up there. And we knew that they would be pushing pace.
Yeah, a lot of international help there, right?
Yeah. So I think all of the top 15 finishers at Big 12s are international except BYU guys. Mm. So our plan was to have Casey go out with the lead pack and then have everyone else pack it up and just fight for spots. And we all ended up going out with the front pack, going out quick, and just, again, fighting for spots and getting every little point that we could.
Okay, quick start. So that obviously was part of the deal.
Yeah.
How was your fatigue after getting out to a quick start, knowing that you needed that to stay in the race?
Yeah, it was tough because we could see this top pack of probably 10 Kenyans, and Casey was right behind them, so he's probably in 10th or 11th. And so we have 10 guys ahead of R1 and four Oklahoma State guys ahead of R1, and we're going blisteringly flat fast. Like I came through 5K in 14:13, and my PR on the track is 13:58.
Wow. On the track?
Yeah, so that doesn't add up.
This is an outdoor course.
So we're getting pounded like by how fast it is, and they have four guys ahead of our number one, and so it just looked like we were getting demolished. But we just kind of toughed it out and like didn't let that get to our heads. And then guys just started coming back. They just had taken it out too hard for themselves. And yeah, we just picked up what was left and placed well.
You mentioned 3 minutes after, you know, because you don't know immediately. It's not an obvious thing. You need to tally the points and whatever. So what's that moment like when you realize, hey, we did it?
Yeah, well, so actually initially, so they have a big video board up near the finish. And it populates pretty slowly. I don't know why it's so slow. But as each runner comes through, it says there's one runner through, two runners through each team. And I didn't realize that it was saying that. And so initially, a score popped up and we had won. And so I was like so hyped. And then Casey came up behind me and was like, no. They've only scored three runners. Stop. Because like he was so scared that I was celebrating and then we were going to not win. So that was kind of like, seriously. So I immediately was like, oh. And then we just like waited for probably 30 more seconds after all five runners had come through just to make sure. But it was just pure elation.
This is the cross country version of a touchdown, a review, and then they confirm we did win.
Don't celebrate. Okay, we're good.
Yeah. When you could actually celebrate, what was that moment like?
Well, I was like dead. Like I was on the floor. Like Kev was like carrying me. Like you can see some of the pictures. Like that one, Stosh and Lucas were just carrying me, and I was like so dead. And then I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just like trying to stand up, and then the scores came on the board, and I was like just filled with more energy. I was like, let's go.
Saw some tears from some of the teammates. Yeah. Like you guys put a lot into this. It means a lot. Yet you have a even bigger goal coming up with nationals. Mm-hmm. And it's a longer race in Wisconsin, November 23rd. You guys feel like this is an advantage to you. Tell us about why.
Yeah, so the Africans, there's been a huge influx of Africans in the NCAA, especially this year, and Oklahoma State has a lot of these guys.
So many international stars. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're really good at running in the heat. So that's part of the reason why we weren't super confident going into conference, because it was in Texas. Like, oh crap, like these guys are going to run really well in the heat. So winning in the heat was like a huge confidence booster. So we hope that the weather's just terrible at Wisconsin. Like it was snowing earlier today. If it's snowing like that,
perfect.
During the race, that's awesome.
Ideal conditions.
Yeah, because we know we're tough, and we know that it'll weed out the boys from.
You
the
know, band. It's not normal to hope for conditions like that.
I love that you love it. Like you're rooting for that. I love that. But that's part of being in Provo and at elevation, and you train in this. You're running around Provo. You know, if you live near Provo, people see you guys and the women see you. Like, oh, there they are, number two BYU right there.
Wow. Okay. So you want the cold weather. Does the game plan or the race plan remain the same? Like, is it, do you change it at all based on the longer track and maybe some tougher weather conditions? Lucas, what do you think?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think what we saw at conference is that all of our guys in our top five moved up in the last couple K. So we passed guys. We had some of the faster last 1K and 2K splits, which is really positive going into a longer race, because if you have energy at the end of an 8K or more than other guys, then you're going to be able to continue that through 10K. So really, I think we're in a good spot of maintaining that same game plan, just kind of hanging behind that top pack at Nationals and just picking up guys because we know that we have that strength in the last 2K.
Do you each run with the trophy to work on fatigue? Is that part of the training?
Well, it's heavy.
Your turn.
It's like 30 so pounds.
Heavy.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
We're like trying to lift it up in the pictures. We're like, oh.
Yeah, really cross-country arms.
There's some density there. The women go back-to-back as well. What was it like to both come home? You're on that plane and you're like, hey, we both did it.
Yeah, it's super cool that we can build off of each other's success. When we watch the women's team win and do good and we're racing 20 minutes later, it's like, all right, like, we got this.
Good vibes.
But we're still trying to like stay humble, stay hungry, because we got some really good teams out there and it's not going to be easy and we got a lot of work to do still.
Out of sheer curiosity, what's the last thing Ed Eystone says to you before a race starts?
Mostly just to trust in our training and trust in the boys, and we say a prayer together and just have fun.
Love that.
And that's then someone plays Chariot of Fire on their phone. Let's go.
Congratulations to both of you and to the entire team and to the entire program. Incredible stuff. We were celebrating in studio when it happened.
We found out live on the show. We're like,
yes.
That's
awesome. Sweet. That was awesome.
Yeah. Hey, sweet.
Careful
with
the trophy, though.
Yeah.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Women's Hoops begins their season tomorrow as well, coming up against Idaho, 9 Eastern. Spence on the call. Kristen as well. New look Cougar team, only 4 returning players.
Looking forward to that. And looking forward to BYU Utah on Saturday from Rice-Eccles Stadium. Trying to conjure up all the positive vibes that we can as we look back on the top 5 road wins for BYU in this series.
There's some good ones.
BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation as we look at the top 5 Tuesday subject of the week, which is the top 5 road wins by BYU at Utah in the long storied history of the rivalry.
Number 5, 1984, BYU's 10-0, number 3 in the AP poll. They go up to Rice Stadium at the time. Robbie Bosco, 367 yards, 3 touchdowns, 24-14 win. BYU jumps to number 1. After this game in the AP poll for the first time ever.
Was there any pressure on BYU in that game?
Number 3.
Good grief. Number 4, 1990. BYU entered the game in Salt Lake City at 8-1, number 5 in the AP poll. After Utah jumped out to a 10-7 lead, Ty Detmer then arrived, led BYU on 4 consecutive touchdown drives with 4 touchdown passes. All of a sudden, it was 35-10. Detmer finished with 451 yards, 5 touchdowns passing, and a 45-22 win.
That 90 team, you forget, they were in the top 5 for several weeks. Disappointing finish, otherwise that's an all-time team in BYU history. Number 3, 1996. Randomly, I was in the Utah student section with my uncle, who's a BYU fan. Connell Wetton, shout out. He was a Utah student. We're in the Utah student section. How about 332 yards combined from Brian McKenzie and your boy Ronnie Jenkins, 4 touchdowns. BYU had 12 pass attempts in this game. won 37-17, snapped a three-game losing streak in the series. Remember, 93-94-95, not good for BYU.
And, yeah.
Clinched a spot in the WAC championship game. I jumped over the railing, got on the field after the game, and was just like running on the field as like a 13-year-old. This is one of my greatest
great
memories
moments
as a BYU fan.
There was a lot riding on this game.
Yep.
BYU needed to show up to get to Las Vegas for the WAC title game.
And at the time, it was a division championship, so they held these like, division champs.
It's also the last time BYU has, quote unquote, blown out Utah.
10-plus win, right?
Yes.
Because it was 9-21. 10-plus win, 96.
Win by 20.
It'd be nice to do that Saturday.
Steve Sarkisian threw 12 passes in this game.
Yep.
That is wild. Number two, Lavelle's last miracle.
Oh.
In 2000. Oh my gosh, what an emotional game. BYU entered the game 5-6. Coach Edwards hadn't had a losing record in 28 years.
And it wasn't going to be that night either.
Brandon Doman to Mike Regale on 4th-and-13. Come back to it, Mike.
Pittman.
Sorry, Jonathan Pittman, yes. Then Doman takes it around the edge.
Kalani blocking on that play.
Kalani Fifita-Sitake leading the way. They hoist Lavelle on their shoulders.
I'm getting chills watching
his last miracle is complete. BYU wins 34-27. Yes, Jonathan Pittman, two catches on that final drive.
In a row.
Amazing.
Luckily, no review there. I think Luke Staley probably fumbled. The tech was behind.
Listen,
the times. It is what it is in the moment.
I don't believe that saying prayers for a certain team to win actually matters, but I offered a sincere prayer in that moment for Lavelle Edwards.
We all did. And number one, of course, back to Harlan, 2006. Spencer and I were standing next to each other when it happened. Let's walk through the game. BYU's 9-2, number 21 in the AP poll. John Beck, Johnny Harleen, 36 yards. BYU up 14-0.
They were running away with it, Jerome.
Yeah, yes, they were. But Utah scored 24 straight. BYU took the lead back. Utah took it back again. Magic happened, okay?
Ooh.
One-handed on Eric Weddle. Okay, and then here it is. Shuffling. Plenty of time. Now the heat comes. We can all recite the words, right? Beck goes to his right. Johnny Harleen somehow gets open, goes to his knees, and the prayer is answered in the end zone. I remember you kept saying, oh my gosh, on the sideline as John Beck finds his guy, put it in your books, Mountain West Conference Offensive Player of the Year is James Bates.
It was a surrender cobra in celebratory fashion for me. Hands on the head, I can't believe what I just saw.
And famously, I've said it on the show before, I will say it again. I had a camera for our daily news show in the comms department. As John throws the ball, I go like this. I just lower the lens and watch the play.
It happened how it was supposed to happen.
I saw it with my own eyes, which is...
Our good friend Dan Ransom captured the photo of photos.
I have a big picture of that.
Behind Johnny as the ball is in the air and he's on his knees waiting to catch. It is an incredible photo.
I need to have everybody in that photo from BYU sign that.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
Yeah.
It's your senior project.
Nice. Finally, I'll graduate.
Our question of the day. What is your realistic best case and worst case scenario for where you think BYU will be ranked in the initial college football playoff poll tonight? At TGibby98 on X Answers, we'll be able to tell a lot from tonight. Either the committee is paying attention to actual games, thus BYU's 5-7, or they are brand ambassadors and BYU is somewhere between 8 and 10.
That's a good point. Brand ambassador, like they're hired on Instagram or something.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. This in from CougFan1856 on X, who says, best case, committee sees BYU's strength of record and ranks BYU number 6.
Yeah.
Worst case, committee looks at brand and ranks BYU a biased number 10.
We both think it's somewhere in the middle there at like 8.
How BYU could fall all the way to number 10. It would take a significant and long explanation from the committee to be like, yeah, well, this is why BYU is number 10.
It'd be weird. BYU's in a Power 4 conference. Like, let's go.
At least number 8.
Undefeated in Power 4. This isn't Mountain West.
9 at worst.
Yeah.
All right, today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
We want to mention BYU superfan Aaron Hurst, who's from Cleveland, Utah, went to Emory High School. Shout out Sean Bradley. Loyal viewer of the show, facing a tough physical challenge right now with her health. Former Utah Tech distance runner. We appreciate distance running at this school. We want to send our best wishes to Aaron and family. Thanks for watching and listening to the show, and hang in there.
We understand she watches every day. Aaron, we love and appreciate that so much for your support of our show. We certainly support and love you. So Let me join Jerem in that sentiment. And go Cougs now more than ever. Win for Aaron this week.
Absolutely.
Let's go. Our thanks to today's guests, Hinkley Rapati, Lucas Bonds, and Davin Thompson.
Sergeant Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to Ronnie Jenkins, baby. It's all 96 vibes this week, Jerem.
We'll see you tonight. 7
Eastern. Woo! Live reaction to the poll. Go Cougs.